Kind of doing a travel-themed show here, Steve, what with, just the various topics that we've covered in various ways today. And I was actually the other day going to put Sue Kelly on from Kelly Cruises, who I do some commercials for and some travel with, because I was talking to her off the air and I said, well, what does this Cuba policy change in the United States mean for travel to Cuba? And she says, well, quite a few things. And then I was reading on Forbes today, and here's what they say. Just as travel and tourism to Cuba from the United States was heating up, President Trump made an announcement last Friday that cools it down. While it's not exactly a cancellation, what it is at this stage unclear. They have a Cuba expert at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas saying there are a zillion contradictions in the president's policy. For example, American tour operators, cruise ships, and airlines will still technically be able to operate into Cuba, Forbes writes. And the U.S. citizens can still purchase and bring home Cuban products. We can still buy rum and cigars. Both of these were off limits before the Obama administration relaxed the rules in 2014. But the new policies put in place two important restrictions. Number one, it makes it illegal for Americans to patronize facilities related to the Cuban military. You cannot patronize facilities related to the Cuban military. And it makes individual travel to Cuba far more difficult for Americans. Currently, that's through a program known as People to People. This military thing is interesting because the Cuban military runs the state tourism business. So the military is, in essence, the people that are running the hotels there. According to Forbes, Americans will not be allowed to stay in Cuban hotels, take Cuban buses, or rent cars in Cuba because that's related to the military. And our new policy is we will not do anything related to the military. And get a load of this. While the cutbacks on individual tourism will mean that Cuba's growing network of homestays will take a hit too, Airbnb says that 560,000 guests have paid some $40 million to private hosts around Cuba since the company entered the market in April of 2015. This is a country where they say the average monthly wage is $30. This year, Cuba has been Airbnb's ninth largest market for Americans heading abroad. Sue, I guess I'm not telling you anything you don't know or haven't already heard a little bit about, huh?
Yes, yes. There's so much that remains to be seen here. There's so many questions that are unanswered. The way that we're trying to take this right now, John, and by the way, thanks for having me on.
Sue Kelly from Kelly Cruises. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this is what they call a policy memorandum. So this isn't the final. This is what our president has written and what he wants. But there's actually the actual policy itself will come from the Treasury and the Commerce Departments, and they will begin issuing the regulations within 30 days. It will probably take a minimum of 90 days before we see how this really what the rule of,
I see,
you know, what the letter of the law is really going to be.
So, what about, go ahead, keep going.
You know, I think we're, for passengers on cruise ships that were worried all of a sudden that this, you know, their ship isn't going to go to Cuba and they booked the trip for that, I think that that those trips are going to be okay. We don't see that those are going to be directly impacted. Anything that, whether it's a cruise ship or a land, you know, a tour operator that had licensed people-to-people tours, those we don't see as being directly impacted. Where I think it gets a little dicey and a little questionable is for independent travel. You know, what is it going to mean to the person that just gets on a flight and flies to Cuba, you know, books
wants
a
to do it on their own,
wander around. Yes, be an independent traveler.
But aren't those people supposed to have guides? Aren't they supposed to be in the company of a Cuban official?
They are, but what had really been happening was that had become very relaxed, kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy was beginning to emerge, and I think that's what they're clamping down on, right, wrong, or otherwise, that, you know, that seems to be the
What do they care if I wander around Cuba? If I'm wandering around Cuba on my own, I might just buy a meal or pick up a souvenir. That would be good for them.
You would think. So that's why before we jump to all conclusions, I will be curious to see how this really shakes out. And I agree. Things like Airbnb, things that I had a client today that said, well, what about, I just want to get my own guide when I get off the ship. I don't want to do a group. I want to be
right
on my own.
Now, I understand that.
And those are the kinds of questions that still, we just don't know.
If I were to take the president's policy at its word, that would be difficult or impossible. But you're saying that when it goes through Commerce and Treasury, it might be a watered-down version of that. It might not be as obstructionist.
Right. We don't know what they're going to tweak here. We don't know what they're, we don't know how, what the president's policy memorandum and what the final draft will look like. We don't know if they will be exactly the same.
What about this, Sue? I heard that you're supposed to take notes about where you go and what you do. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So, and this holds true even for cruise passengers. Our advice to cruise passengers, minimum 5 years is you hold on to all of your documentation.
When I come back to the United States, you're kidding. I can't hold on to anything for 5 years. Are you kidding?
No,
I don't know where my keys are.
I am so with you on that. But the government is saying that they can audit this. And I don't, again, we don't really know what the full implications of that are. But, our professional advice is they say a minimum of 5 years. I would say 6. Hold on to everything from that trip. Just a big file folder of all of your receipts. What did you do on those days when you were in Cuba? Jot it down.
This is
what they're looking for.
If I may, Sue, I'm just mystified by that because, A, I am incapable of it, and B, who wants that? Is that our government asking us to keep a record of our travels in Cuba for 5 years? And what would be the purpose of that be? In case we were spying or doing something illegal, there would be documents for that? Is that the idea behind that?
John, I really can't even begin to answer that.
You know, but you can't tell me because there's people listening on the other line and you have...
No, I don't think you've been given information? I think it's just... I think it has to do with they want to be able to make sure that the policies that they're putting in place are followed.
Okay.
And, I don't know what auditing someone's travel plans really mean, but we also, it's our job as your travel counselor and your advisor to give you the best possible information based on what the government is telling you.
Well, I would do it. Then go ahead and keep the records and blah, blah, blah. But what are you saying about travel to Cuba? To me, that sounds very exotic, very interesting, very fun.
Here's what I would say. For those that are looking for a bucket list type of experience, they want to put their feet on Cuban soil. The cruise ship experience with a couple of different ports is a great option. They'll have excursions, they'll have things for you to do, and you will have that. You'll see the best of what is available right now, and we're talking about a very small island where travel and tourism is in its infancy. The lure of the old cars and old Havana and all of that is alluring, but there's not a ton of infrastructure there.
There's not a lot for people to do when they get there. A friend of mine did a group tour, and I remember his commercial, and it was like, we'll tour a cigar factory. And I thought, I guess you will, but I don't know that I really want to do that, but maybe it would be more interesting because that's part of the culture. It's the people. And
it is. And that goes back to that whole people to people, understanding the culture and things like that.
Wow.
But I also, there's a part of me that says, if you just want to go and be able to say, I have seen it and I have seen what it was like before travel and tourism,
Before
the hotels were built and all of that, I say go for it, but I would probably be a little more conservative in how I traveled there, whether I would maybe look at a tour or look at a short cruise, perhaps. But for those that are thinking of, well, it's going to be like a new experience and going to, you know, the Turks and Caicos or going to Barbados, not quite there yet, John. Not quite there yet by a long shot.
It's 247. So. Sue Kelly's on the line from Kelly Cruises and Tours. Brenda and I are taking one of your trips with a bunch of listeners next spring. I got just a few minutes here, but we're going to do 8 nights on the Mediterranean. We're going in Spain, France, and Italy. What's the highlight? When you describe this trip, what's the stop that you think is most interesting?
Oh, John, one stop? How could I? It's going to be, you know, John, this is our 10th cruise together.
How about that?
Hard to believe. It's our 30th anniversary and our 10th cruise with John Williams and WGN. And it's hard to take this one. This one is a really phenomenal experience. This is the best of the best in terms of the Western Mediterranean, Barcelona, so Spain, and then over to some new places like Sète, Carcassonne, which is where they filmed Robin Hood. Beautiful. And then some favorites like Provence. I mean, John, Provence in the spring with the rolling hills and the lavender fields. And then over to Italy with Portofino. And if you've already been to Florence, then we recommend heading over to Tuscany for the day. And the rolling hills and the wine and the food, it's just, this is really going to be a magnificent trip. And it's on Regent Seven Seas, and it's on their brand new ship, the Seven Seas Explorer.
I just like the boats. I love these stops, but I like the boats. I like being on the boats.
It is. Well, this is the new one, John. This is the Seven Seas Explorer. She's a baby. She just, you know, she was just built and came into sailing last year. But she is, I was on for her inaugural festivities and her christening, and she is truly the most magnificent ship I have ever seen in my 20-plus years in this business.
And it's 750 passengers, too, so it's still not gigantic.
No, it is the perfect size. Everything's a suite on board. The smallest suites are 300 square feet and up. Everything has a private balcony. It's all-inclusive with your soft drinks and your alcohol and your gratuities to the staff. And there's free shore excursions because imagine all these fabulous ports. That's a lot of shore excursions. That's all included in the trip. Yeah. And then for those that want air is offered. Economy air is $600 a person. So it's a great value, and it's just – it has a fabulous – spa. It has beautiful pools. It has.
Sue, I asked for one thing. I said one thing. I didn't say 1 hour. I said one thing. All right, Kelly Cruises.
I can't help it. I'm so excited about this trip and this beautiful ship. And we just, you know what, John? We've always had such a good group of passengers.
We have.
It's been so great.
That's the thing I tell people too a lot. I say when we do these trips, we end up sailing time and again with a lot of people. And then we see him when we get back to the States and we're in Illinois or Chicago because he makes such nice friendships and you just want to spend time with these people. The number is 630-990-1111, Kelly Cruises. Okay, nice to talk to you, Sue. I'll see you soon, all right?
Thanks, John. Take good care.
It's 250. This is WGN.